We submit ourselves to you. Holy Spirit of God, may you please speak to us today. I pray for the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, so that each one of us can receive what you have in store for them. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Awesome. This morning, I want to address a very important aspect in our lives. Something that affects me. I'm not an exception to this issue. And it's an area that I've seen a lot of people struggling with. And I want to address what I call the frustration gap. The frustration gap. And many people are living in that gap called frustration. Many people have a gap between their expectations and their experiences. I don't know where have you been. Where you see yourself between what you expect your day to look like and how the day ends. Sometimes you start your day excited. You're looking forward to a great day. But at 10 o'clock, something happens and throws you off. Maybe it's the year. Every person starts the year with expectations. That is why we write New Year's resolutions. We've got these expectations that are so massive. And we're looking forward to a great year. And February comes. You haven't been to the gym. Huh? You're like, I'm going to drop from 70 Ks to 65. But now you see you go and like, ooh, I'm 72. What happened? Something happened. Life happened. Now, most of our disappointments come from this reconciliation that we are struggling with between expectations and what we really experience. It is like getting in a relationship and 1 year down the road, the relationship is not what you expected. The guy looked very sweet from afar. You saw the girl there ushering in church. You're like, woo, that looks like the one. Uh-huh. They are sweet when they are far, but you draw them closer. It's not what they really look. And you're like, Lord, what happened? It's a case of unmet expectations. Now, I'd like to attribute this existence of the frustration gap to two issues. The first issue comes as a result of expectations that are not, that there's no basis to these expectations. Sometimes you expect something that you should not expect. You expect your husband to provide the kind of love that only God can provide. The moment you do that, your expectations are, there's no basis to that expectation. Another example. You are suffering from stomach ulcers. You go to a doctor who specializes with backbone. Guess what? That doctor won't be able to fix your ulcers because that's not his area of expertise. Now, my question to you this morning is, are your expectations rightly placed or they're a figment of our imagination? We imagine certain things that are not meant to be. That is the one aspect why there's a frustration gap. And one needs to ask themselves, am I really supposed to expect this from my boss? Because my boss is not my daddy. Hello? Your boss is not your dad. And your wife is not your mama. Hello? That is one aspect why there's a frustration gap. So you need to review your levels of expectations to say, well, he is a doctor who specializes on backbones. I shouldn't go to him in the first place. Secondly, it is a result of you not having fulfilled the side of your bargain. If you are in a relationship, you agree, this is what you're going to do, this is what I'm going to do. So they'll tell you, if you do this, I will do that. Therefore, the expectation is placed around a certain condition. If you are in a business deal, your business partner will tell you, I will do this if you do that. Let's sign on the dotted line, isn't it? The moment you have that kind of a situation, before you are frustrated, you need to ask yourself, have you fulfilled the side of the agreement? Have you fulfilled the side of your agreement? If not, do what you're supposed to do, and maybe your expectations will be met. Now, you buy a microwave. You buy a washing machine. The washing machine comes with a user's manual, doesn't it? It tells you this is how you put together this machine. Or these days, every cabinet is exploded. It doesn't come the way it is. It is exploded in a small box, and there's a manual there on how to put together that small little thing there. And typically, men don't read manuals. We just run into it, and we put together this until we break a piece. The reason why the machine is not working the way it should work, it is because you did not read the user's manual. And do you know what we normally do? If we fail to make it work, we take it back and say, this machine is not working. And then they ask you, did you follow the user's manual? And that's where a lot of lies come in, if you've been there. Now, what am I saying this morning? In the life of a believer, there are fundamental issues that need to happen in order to close your frustration gap. You as a Christian, you will agree with me that there are frustrations that you've been experiencing. You are saying, the moment I got born again, everything must be fine. I should walk in health. There should be peace in my life. People should like me. Why? Because I'm a child of God. But all of a sudden, things are not the way you expected them to be. Now, the plan of God is to bring to you to your desired heaven. The Lord wants to do you good. The Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to bring His shalom in your life. And that shalom is nothing broken, nothing missing. So that is what God wants to do. When you read the book of Ephesians, which I want to call the position book, it tells you where you are positioned in God. It says we are seated together with Christ above principalities and powers. Ephesians says we have received all heavenly blessings in the heavenly places. But I look at my life, it doesn't look like that. What happened? Is God a liar? Is His word not true? Or there is something that I need to get right? That is the question that we need to deal with this morning. Now, there are many things that we can do in order to close the frustration gap in our walk with God. And one of them is what we're going to address this morning. And that one aspect is how you and I handle the Word of God. So this morning, I want to talk to you on this message entitled, Radical with the Word. Radical with the Word. I don't know your view of the word this morning. What weight do you place on the word of God? As long as the word of God is a nice to have in our lives, the frustration gap will continue growing until the tension is so overwhelming. As long as the word of God is an option, you know, when you buy a vehicle, they'll tell you these are the options you can have. You've got the basic here. Sir, this is the basic model. But if you want, there's a navigation system, there's a tow bar, there's a bull bar, there is tinted windows. And they're saying these are nice to have, but you don't have to have them. If the word is one of those nice to have, I'm sorry to say the frustration gap might continue growing. Hello, somebody. If the word of God is just like a tow bar on your bucky that you can drive without one, the frustration gap will continue growing. Unfortunately, the devil has made us to look at the word like tinted glasses. It's an option. I can do without tinted glasses. Go with me to James 1 verse 22. Remember we said for this series entitled Radical Living, we're going to stay in the book of James. I love the book of James. The brother of James was very radical. He would hit the nail right on the head every single time. The Bible says, do not merely listen to the word. And so, deceive yourselves. Do not merely listen to the word. What it means is that a lot of believers are deceived. Though they are believers, but they live in a deceitful state. Why? Because they just listen to the word. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Have you ever been there? You look yourself in the mirror and you see that the collar is not sitting properly, but you don't do anything about it. He looks away, he forgets immediately how he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed in what they do. That is the aspect that I want us to deal with this morning. The last portion of that scripture says, they will be blessed in what they do. I spoke about the frustration gap. It tells me something here that if I do right with the word, if I treat the word as the fundamental thing in my life, I'll be blessed in what I do. I'll be blessed in it. Glory be to God. Now, being radical with the word will lead you to a blessedness in your life where you are blessed. That word bless, it is empowered to prosper. It's not just talking about financial prosperity. It's talking about a holistic way of prosperity where your conscience is at peace. When you do what the word says, when you handle the word aright, there is peace that comes in your conscience. It will impart happiness of a higher order to your mind. This is what happens when you take the word of God seriously. The word of God will empower you. The word of God will enable you to have a greater influence in your life and in the lives around you. A blessed person has capacity to produce. One of the things that I have realized is that when you are dealing with a blessed person, it doesn't matter how much you pull them down, you cannot keep them down. At your workplace, they might not like you, but they cannot help it because you are a blessed person. And the reason why you are blessed, it is because of you. The word of God is so key to you that you look at it seriously. Now, allow me to say, being radical with the word means you are prepared to live and to die by the word. This is very key. Being radical with the word means that you are prepared to live and to die by the word. In other words, you say, for my life to live, it is because of the word. Even if I have to die because of my conviction, so be it. Because these days I have found that a lot of believers are not prepared to live out their convictions because it is very uncomfortable. You will be castigated at work. Your neighbors will look at you funny because of your convictions, because of the way you live your life. Now, one of the things that I've realized is there are so many authorities asking for your submission. I want you to just think about the authorities that are asking for your attention. It could be the authority of media. It could be the authority of magazines. It could be the authority of the pop culture. The popular culture of the day, which is asking you to change the way you live. And more, it looks like becoming a Christian, many people see it as offensive. If I project my beliefs as a Christian, they say, look at that and hear what he is saying. He is intolerant. You are going against our human rights. If you live out your Christianity as a radical Christian, many people will look at you and they say, you're violating our rights. And one person asked, how is it possible that other rights can trump the religious rights that we have in this country? I'm talking about choosing the word as your primary authority. Your family is another authority that wants to speak over your life. Your family will tell you, this is how you should manage your marriage. But the Bible tells us that the man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife and the two shall become one. Which means you have moved out. They are still your parents, but the way you manage your marriage is a different ball game. Very, very interesting. Go with me to Matthew 24, verse 35. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That is very key. There are some authorities that live like they are permanent authorities. There are certain presidents that live like they are presidents for life. There are certain political parties that think they are permanent. There is nothing permanent except the word of God. Glory be to God. When you see the word of God as being permanent, the word will become the primary authority in your life. John 1 verse 1. The Bible tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. If you can go with me to John 1 verse 1. Okay. So I will read here. They will get it right. So it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. It speaks of the power of the word. When we understand the authority of the word, when we understand that nothing was made which was not made by the word, you'd realize that the word is the material, the raw material that creates the future that we want. The word of God is what we need to change our environment. It's not popular culture, it's not popular opinion, it is the word of God. So I want to teach you right now four ways to become radical with the word of God. Four ways to become radical with the word of God. How do we become radical with the word? Number one, this is the basic, get the word into your system. That sounds very simple. But if it was that simple, why is it not happening here? Huh? Why is it not happening on a daily basis, getting the word into your system? If you want to be radical with the word, you need the word where the word is needed. You need the word where it should be found. For medication to work, you have to get it into your system. It doesn't matter how you take the medication, whether through injection, through a syrup, through a capsule, a pill, whichever way you take it, the medication is needed where there is an ailment, isn't it? The same thing applies to the word. You need the word where you are having issues. And in the absence of the word in your life, you cannot live by it. Why? The word of God is fundamental. I was talking to someone last week and I said to them, in the same way that when you wake up in the morning, you have cereals, you have breakfast, you have coffee, it should be the same with the word of God. You should look at the word and say, the word is so important to my well-being that I should have it every single day. The Bible talks about the word is called milk. It says here, desire the sincere milk of the word. When you go to 1 Peter 2 verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word as a newborn child. When you have a child and you don't give them milk, you're going to lose them. They will die out of hunger. And I wonder how we are surviving in our spirit man without the word, where we've become so used to living without the word. What happens when you do not take the word inside of you? You become so weak. You become so weak in your spirit man that whatever wind blows you, it throws you off. Whatever doctrine is thrown at you, it takes you off balance. Because you are weak in the spirit. The word is like milk. It carries all the nutrients that you need for your spirit man. When you hear a false teaching, you are taken up by it. Why? Because your spirit man is so weak. So the word is like milk. The word is called the bread of life. Jesus declares, he says, I am the bread of life, and everybody who is in me will never hunger, will never go thirst again. Why? Because I am the bread of life. Glory be to God. When you partake the word, you are feeding yourself. You're feeding your spirit man. The word is called water. It refreshes you. The word refreshes you. When you go to Ephesians 5, verse 26, where he talks about when Paul was talking about Jesus, how he washes the church with water of the word, so that the bride can be presented back to him without blame, without wrinkles. He does that through the washing of the word, which is water. Now, the word of God will refresh you. The word of God will enable you to keep running hydrated. Many people are dehydrated in the spirit, and therefore you are thirsting for something. You are thirsting for something, and you start drinking stuff that will not do you good. When you take the word, you are hydrated, and you're able to go for the long haul. Glory be to God. That is why we need to take the word in our lives. I have seen that many people are very disciplined with going to the gym. Many people are disciplined with watching their series, whether it's 24. Oh, I'm dating myself. You know the series 24? No, you don't. Okay? Prison Break? Yes. Suits? Yes? Yes? Huh? So people get so hooked up to these series, they're so addicted to them that they can't do without. But how about being addicted to the word? How about being so addicted to the word that when you wake up in the morning, even if it is just a passage, you just have a dosage. You just have a little bit of it. Glory be to God. So the enemy wants us to prioritize so many things. So the issue is not a lack of discipline. It's a lack of focus discipline. We are disciplined because we can wake up in the morning to go to work. We are not able to wake up to read the word. Misplaced disciplines. There's a portion of scripture that speaks of the need to hear the word for the word to transform you. This is a story in Acts 18, verse 7, where Paul was preaching in the city of Corinth, and he was in the synagogue, and there he was preaching the gospel, until the Jews started opposing him, and they were rejecting the truth. And Paul said, "I'm leaving you. I'm going to the Gentiles. I wash my hands. I'm going to preach to the Gentiles." And so here he walks into the life, into the home of a Gentile, and he starts declaring the word. And the Bible says, "And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Many of the Corinthians, after hearing, they believed and they were baptized. So when you take the word into your life, it prompts a certain reaction in your life. Glory be to God. Your behavior gets changed by what you have taken in. So what you take in determines your behavior. So when I look at your life, I'm able to tell what you've been taking. When you're talking to somebody who's intoxicated, they are slow of speech. They see double lines. They struggle when they're driving. And you know what they have taken. When you talk to a believer who has taken the word, they will look at your situation and say, "Brother, let's believe God together. He will make a way for you." We know she's been taking the word. Glory be to God. If you haven't been taking the word, you tell them, "Hey, dude, you need to make a plan. It's time to leave the country. It's time to leave the country. Everybody's leaving the shores. Everybody's going to Australia." Is that what God wants for you? Hello? When you've been taking the word, the Lord will start directing your walk, because he says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Glory be to God. You will not leave your workplace until you know God wants you to leave. You not live because everybody else is living. That's what happens when you partake the word. So we are saying here, get the word into your system. Number two, if you're going to be radical with the word, be attentive and consider the word received. You see, when you look at the word that we're being taught, it's not a complex word, but it is life-changing. Now here we are saying you need to receive the word. You need to be attentive to the word that you have received. Now, the enemy is very relentless. If he cannot stop you from taking in the word, he will stop you from paying attention to the word you are receiving. He will say, go ahead, listen to the word, sit under the ministry of the word, but don't really worry about it. Don't allow it to influence your life. He wants you to lightly esteem the taught word. He wants you to lightly esteem the word that you read. And right now, if we can be true to one another, how serious do we take the word? How serious do I take the word? So it's one thing to hear the word, but it's another thing to pay attention to it. Verse 22 of James 1 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. So there are two types of hearers right now, 50-50 in this place right now. There is the one hearer who does what he hears. There's one hearer who doesn't do what he hears. So the difference between these two is what they do after taking the word. It's what you do after taking the word. Now, the word here is being called a mirror. Just think with me what happens when you look at a mirror. Do you know that there are different qualities of mirrors? There are mirrors that you look at, you see double vision. The mirror is not crystal clear. And that mirror makes you think you are okay. That mirror makes you think your facials have been done properly, you ladies. Huh? That mirror is not clear at all. It's hazy. But there are certain mirrors that when you look at, you wonder, huh? Is that a wrinkle that just appeared there? Huh? Is that how I'm looking now? That mirror is so clear, and usually it's more expensive. If you go to Builder's Warehouse, you look at the different types of mirrors. The quality of mirrors is different. So there, right at the end there, you find mirrors that you walk and you have to stop. Because this mirror is so clear, it shows how handsome you are. It shows how beautiful you look. And you want to just stand there long enough because it's showing you the details. Now, the word is called the mirror. The reason why I'm putting this analogy of the different types of mirrors, it is because there is true doctrine and there is false doctrine. Whenever you hear false doctrine, you're still looking at a mirror, but that mirror is not clear. That mirror will not prompt a behavior in your life to change the way you live. That mirror will encourage you to continue on a certain journey. If you are pursuing money at all costs and you hear the prosperity gospel that is not balanced, it will spur you on that journey. But if you hear true gospel on a balanced view on prosperity, you will stop and say, wait a moment, what is it going to cost me to get this money? It's not going to be a hook or crook. I'll get the money. So people will tell you, the ends will justify the means. As long as I get the money, it doesn't matter how I get it. That is the type of gospel where you're just pushing accumulation of money all the time. It is still the mirror, but the mirror is hazy. It's not giving you a true reflection of Jesus. Now, the Bible says here, he's like a man who looks at himself in the mirror, and immediately that person walks away without paying attention. So this person gives a casual look to the mirror. The mirror is very clear. You are being taught sound doctrine in this church. The mirror tells you exactly what needs to change in your life. So the problem is not with the mirror. The problem is with the attitude with what we have seen on the mirror. The mirror is telling you this attitude needs to change. The mirror is telling you that is not being Christ-like. The mirror is telling you you've got to be generous. But because the mirror is telling you too much about you, you quickly move away. How many times when you've heard a telling word that you sit on it, you pay attention to it? The Bible is telling us here, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. Now, if you look at verse 24, it says here, for he observes himself That's a casual look, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. He forgets that the mirror told him that there is a vegetable thing stuck on his front tooth, and he doesn't remove it. The mirror is telling you that your lipstick has been smudged. She doesn't change it. The mirror is telling you that your tie is on the side, but he doesn't change his tie. So this person gives just a gazing look. It's a quick look on the word, and they move on. And the reason why they do a quick look on the word, it is because the word is so convicting, and the devil is saying, don't pay attention to it, move on to something else so that your conscience cannot be convicted. Do you hear me this morning? That is why sometimes when we read the word, we do what I call selective reading. We read what we like. We read what we enjoy. Whatever is dealing with our issues, we just flip over it quickly. So this person gives a careless look to the word. He comes to church, he listens to the word, and the pastor is saying something that is a bit hectic, like, no. I'm just going to listen on the next point. Say, pastor, just go on to the next point now. I'm not going to move. Now, so that's the first way. That is a guy who listens and they quickly forget. If you go to Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, it talks about how a man who hears the word and this word goes into the heart and this heart is not deep. And then the sun comes, it hits the plant germinating and this plant dies quickly. What is the issue here? There is no root. No root has taken over the word that has been taught. Now let's look at the second person. The second way is the same as, see, the Bible talks about here in verse 25. It says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Now this is the person who comes to church with their notebook. Hello? This is the person who doesn't just take their notes, but they go and review the notes on Tuesday. They read again the notes and say, what was being taught on Sunday? Lord, what were you saying to me? Do you know that it is one word that is preached, but different messages go through because of where you are, because of what God is doing in your heart? So if I will ask each one of you right now after the service, you tell me different things. That spoke to me, Pastor. That spoke to me. That is fine. I don't expect you to take everything, but I expect you to take what the Lord wants you to hear for this season for you. Glory be to God. So this person looks intently. It is almost like you stoop down in order to get closer to something because it is so small. You stoop down to pay attention. So you hear the word, you do not just leave quickly, but you just listen to the word and you pay attention to what it is saying. Glory be to God. Now, that issue of intently looking into the law that gives freedom speaks of the attitude that one has. You scrutinize the scriptures until the image of Christ evokes a desire for change in your life. When you scrutinize the scriptures, it will not leave you the same. You say to yourself, how do I align myself with the image of Christ? Because the Bible tells us Christ has to live inside of us. Many people will never hear the word of God. They'll never read the word, but you are the word that they read. Hello? I'm talking about the attention with which we read the word. It is pretty much the attention paid by a lady putting on her makeup whilst looking at the mirror. I'm assuming you pay attention. But this is exactly what the word is saying here. You are intentional about it. I must confess, I get a bit worried when I'm driving sometimes. I look in the rear view mirror. And behind me, there is a sister driving. And then we stop on the traffic lights. She flips open her makeup kit. And she starts doing her eyebrows. She starts doing her lining. And I'm busy checking. I'm like, huh? Man, multitasking at another level. Well, I don't know, but well, she's paying attention. She knows what she's doing. But what I'm saying here is a lot of ladies do pay attention to themselves when they're doing their makeup. And this is the very same connotation. When the Bible says you look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. So I want to ask you a question. When you read the word, do you pay attention to the word? Do you allow the word to inspect you? Do you allow the word to investigate your heart? Do you allow the word to do a forensic analysis of where you've been? Do you see where I'm going here? Because that is what the word does. The Bible tells us God searches our hearts. How does he do that? He does that through the word. When you hear what the word says, you inspect your heart and you align yourself with the word. Number three, how do you become radical with the word? Number three, you continue in the word. You continue in the word. If you look at verse 25, the Bible tells us here, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives life, that gives freedom, and continues in it. That is the key. And continues in it. The temptation we all face is to quickly want to move on to the next big thing. We quickly want to go to the next big revelation. We quickly want to go to the next big new thing. And yet the basic thing we haven't laid hold of. We haven't grasped the basics of the simple things. We want deep revelation. So you come to church and you're like, I really hope the pastor will unlock some big revelation today. I really hope that the pastor will go deeper. And then you come, the pastor gives you bread and butter stuff. And you're like, no, just give me something more here. No, the devil wants you to quickly move from the basics. Because he knows that your life will be changed when you get the basics right. When you do the ABCs, you get to the Z. But if you jump the ABCs, they'll tell you to go back. My daughter is about to write her grade one exams for a violin. And the teacher said to her, she can write her grade one, but she needs to do music theory. She needs to do music theory because music theory will give you an understanding and she'll be able to appreciate when she reads music. It's not just reading the music. So she'll go and do a grade one. She can do a grade two violin. But if she hasn't done her music theory, she'll be missing something very key. So children of God, this morning, go to the basics. Do not run away from the basics because that is what makes us alive. You see, the key to getting into the word, it is to stay in it. It is to meditate on the word. It is to stay in the word. You have to be diligent to continue in the word because the enemy does not want you to look intently in the word and to continue in it. You see, the word does not work like fast food. You see, fast food, quick meals that we quickly make, in order to be impacted by the word, you need to soak yourself in it for long periods of time until the word starts coming out of you. You know, how do you know that you're eating an orange? You squeeze that fruit, and what comes out is orange juice. Now, what happens in our lives when we are squeezed by the pressures of life? What comes out? Is it the word or is it our carnality? But when you soak yourself in the word long enough and your husband puts pressure on you, guess what comes out? Patience and love, long-suffering, self-control. It is because you would have taken the word long enough. It's not a fast food process. From time to time, my wife would do an oxtail. So what she does in the evening, she puts the oxtail in the slow cooker. We go to bed. So the oxtail brews right through the night. All the spices are in there. Everything is in there. Right through the night, the oxtail is just being cooked. You wake up in the morning. The house has got this aroma. She's like, I can't wait to get into that oxtail. She says, no, it's for lunch. And I want it for breakfast. What would have happened? Right through the night, the oxtail has been worked on. The oxtail is one of those not very soft meats, but when it is cooked properly, you'll enjoy the meat. This is the same thing with you. You've got to be in that slow cooker of the word. The word works on you until when people taste you, they taste Jesus. They're like, I can walk with this one. I can live with this one. I can spend the whole day with this person because they smell like Jesus. The aroma of Jesus is coming out of them. And that is what the Bible says. We are the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Jesus. The one that gives life to those who believe and that gives death to those who don't believe. It's the aroma of Jesus. And what brings out the aroma? The slow cooker in the word. Don't jump out quickly. Don't be like a McDonald's. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just using it as an analogy that you need to be like that slow cooker when you are in the word. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13. The Bible says, while evil men and imposters go from bad to worse. This was Paul speaking to his son Timothy. And he was saying, yeah, be careful. But as for you, continue in the things you have learned. Continue in the basics. Continue in the word that we have taught you, because you know who has taught you this word. Glory be to God. This is so powerful, children of God. Now you need to stay in the word until the word can start living through you. How do you do that? By meditation. And the meditation I'm talking about here is not like Eastern meditation where you blank out your mind. So I'm talking about meditation, not that type of meditation, but the meditation that is found in Joshua 1 verse 8, where the Bible says here, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Meditate on it. That word to meditate in the Hebrew, that word to meditate means to utter and to mutter. You speak back the word. You repeat to yourself the word. You ask the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can think or even imagine. All right? And maybe it's Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. So you meditate and you ask, Lord, what does this mean that you're able to do beyond what I imagine? All of a sudden you realize your imagination determines your potential. Because if you can imagine it, God says, I can do it. I can do beyond your imagination. So I want to challenge you this morning to utter and to mutter the word. Let me try and finish this. Now, you continue in the word by doing these things. You continue in the word by thinking upon it, asking questions of the word, and searching for deeper truths through the help of the Holy Spirit. That is how you continue in the word. And I've underlined there five key elements. You think, you question, you search, you get help, and you involve the Holy Spirit. When you do that, you'll be able to continue in the word. You will not just run off. You read a portion of scriptures and you start meditating on it and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? That is why we will read the same word, the same scriptures over and over, and we get different messages every time. Because there is a message that the Lord wants to say to you in that moment and in that season. And you get that message when you do these things. You think, you question, you search, you get help, get reference Bibles, people of God. Equip yourself, go and buy the best of Bibles. I'm telling you, you can get a good Bible for 300 rand, 400 rand. If you can go out for a lunch, for dinner, you just put that off for one moment and you're able to go and buy a proper Bible for yourself. You invest in your growth. And you need the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher. He will enable you to understand the scriptures. I'm not going to explain the last one because of time, but you need to put the word into action. Do what the word says. is exactly what we need to do. It's as simple as that. If the word says to you, forgive, what does forgive mean? In English, forgive means forgive. In Greek, forgive means forgive. In Afrikaans, forgive means forgive. In Zulu, forgive means forgive. What am I saying? You will only qualify to go to the next revelation when you have practiced the revelation that you know now. You will qualify to go to the next level when you have passed this level now. The level of loving the unlovable. The level of carrying Christ in everything that you do. So this is the key, saints. To be radical in the word, get the word into your system. Pay attention to the word. Continue in the word. Do what the word says. When you get these four things right, you are on your way to closing the frustration gap between your expectations and your experiences. That is how we conclude this morning. May the Lord help us to fall in love again with the word. Let's go back to our former love for the word of God. Let's go back to our former disciplines of getting into the word. I'm not saying go and read long chapters every day. No, it starts off with 5 verses, 10 verses. You will grow in it because the word is a kind of a food that when you start eating, it is nourish. There's nourish on the word where you eat, you feel like, I want to eat more. You know those type of meals that you cannot stop eating when you start eating? That's the same thing with the word. May the Lord help us. I want us to pray for ourselves today and say, Lord, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to falling in love with the word again. I want to be disciplined, Lord. You know your weaknesses. You know what has stolen time from you. But today, say, Lord, I know the word is important for me. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. You are a good God. Lord, we just pray that by your Spirit, you would come and enable us, Lord, to go deeper and deeper in the word. We pray that, Father, will be the same way we are disciplined to feed our physical bodies. We pray that we'll be so disciplined to feed our spiritual bodies. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that we'll be hungry for the word. Even as it is written in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Lord, we pray, oh God, that we would go into the word more and more and more. In the name of Jesus.